Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
The market's uncertain. Revenue's tight and hiring on hold. That's why results-driven companies are using Upwork to keep work moving. Go to Upwork.com today and start hiring proven freelance talent fast. No bulky overhead. No rigid long-term contracts, just the right expert right when you need them. Work smarter and faster with Upwork. Go to Upwork.com now and find your freelance expert. That's UPWORK.com. Post a job for free and get started today.
Lights out, everybody.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Lights Out. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm your host, Austin.
And I'm the producer, Daniel.
We're back with another one. You know, I totally forgot to let you guys know we were going to be off for a week. My apologies, but I had a little family trip scheduled. And we were all off last week. Well, these guys were working still.
True.
While I was off.
True. But I got to take a trip back to Michigan and work there. So that was nice to go home for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm back, rejuvenated. And today we're bringing you a old school style Lights Out episode where the goal of it is to just creep you out beyond belief. And if you're a parent, probably going to creep you out even more, because today we're going to be talking about a paranormal entity that has terrified children all over the world and goes by many different names, but specifically we're going to focus on an entity called El Coco. And it's interesting that I even came across this because I happened to watch the HBO Max show The Outsider that Stephen King wrote, I believe, and the whole premise of that show kind of revolves around this entity. And I never even really, you know, you've heard the term boogeyman. I think we all have, but I never heard of El Cuco, which is one of the names that this entity goes by. But absolutely amazing show, 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. It'll absolutely have you creeped out. And it's one of those mystery, these young boys end up murdered and they're trying to solve the murders. But then there's this whole paranormal element that comes in involving El Cuco.
Yeah, Kendall was just saying it's like it's set up, the narrative set up to where you think it's like this true crime show.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden
it takes
they start dropping these little hints that it's not at all. Yeah.
It's really, really good. And after listening to this episode, I promise you, you'll enjoy it even more. So go check it out. But for every misbehaving child, there is a terrifying creature looking to feed on their bones. Fed up parents across the world have spread the horrifying legend of El Coco, the boogeyman from the Iberian Peninsula. This beastly creature lurks in disobedient children's bedrooms, waiting to strike. And at every wit's end, this threat of brutal annihilation might be the only way for parents to finally get some peace and quiet. This is a very real thing, especially for families, Spanish-speaking countries. We actually have an employee here who grew up hearing stories about El Coco.
They were familiar with, there's without a doubt, they were like, I asked them, and it was Corelli from the Sesh. She was like, oh yeah, 100%. I grew up with that for sure.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, right? And I don't know if you, what are your experiences with the boogeyman early on? Like, are there any? Mine was always just, it was just a scary creature, but it didn't really have any significant story attached to it or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think I really even heard the term boogeyman until I was a teenager and I started watching like horror movies, right?
Right.
You start getting introduced to this kind of creature that lives in the bedroom. Because as a kid, I think it was always, I mean, El Coco could be a demon entity for all we know, but right. It was always demons, right? Like I grew up reading Bible stories. And so the things that I was scared of was demons from hell.
Yeah,
exactly. Yep. Which might even take the cake over El Coco in a way. But I never really heard these types of stories until I got a little bit older. And then even as a teenager though, especially as I started learning more about the paranormal and, you know, this idea that maybe there's more beyond this realm than just, you know, the angels and demons, and maybe it's really these other folklore creatures that exist or folklore entities that exist. And honestly, I got creeped out even more so as a teenager and in my early adult years, because I started really diving into the paranormal and stuff and started creeping myself out.
Sure.
And started looking under my bed.
Yeah. You know,
closing that closet door. Yeah. Even now, I don't like to have closet. When I'm staying somewhere, there's a, you know, even my own closet door, I always make sure they're shut. I don't like to have this like dark abyss at the foot of the bed.
Sure.
Visible, you know?
Sure, I agree. And it's funny you say like movies, because I think that was the closest thing I had to like a boogeyman as a kid was Michael Myers. I think the Halloween franchise, that was like, that dude terrified me. I remember watching, it was like the fourth one on AMC because they used to run the reruns all the time. I just could not sleep after that.
Dude, yeah, and he's one of those where you're like, is he human? Is he not?
Right.
What's going on
there? He's kind of like a demon, right?
Yeah, he's kind of, seems like he never died.
Yeah.
Just keeps shoot
him, pump him with a million bullets and he's still good.
Yeah, it's so weird though. For me, I feel like I'm, as much as I know that in reality, you know, humans are the most dangerous monsters, you know,
absolutely.
Logically, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
And is like, even recently I was gone on my trip and we had somebody staying in our house, pet sitting all of our 15 million animals that we have. And I get a call at 3 a.m. because my back slider alarm went off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like last ditch effort. Like literally they had the cops en route to my house.
Whoa.
And I luckily was able to stop it last minute, but it was just that whole thing. It was all really weird because I haven't had my alarm, you know, my security alarm in my house go off ever since I've lived there. And so it was weird that it went off while we were out of town. And then I found out in the surrounding areas, there had been a string of burglaries and there had been some houses that were hit where the people had been out of the house, luckily, but they had targeted these houses for that very reason.
Right. They were scoping them, checking the schedules, seeing when the houses right. were clear. Yeah.
But anyways, the reason I bring this up is because I guess very recently I've definitely, you know, thought once or twice about at night, like, what if somebody breaks in? What if something happens? And those fears, you know what I mean? You start, those are some things that can make it difficult for you to fall asleep. You're double checking cameras and alarms and, you know, making sure the shoddy's locked and next to the bed. I'm just kidding, but not really. But, but you know, there's that fear, but then there's also this fear that I still have around, you know, I think if you grow up believing in demons, especially, that never really leaves you. And now that fear in demons has kind of evolved into
shifted.
Other things, other types of paranormal entities. And I don't know, I'm a very strong believer that there are negative entities that exist. What they are, where they come from, I don't know, but I do tend to believe that just like there's, you know, spirits that are positive, you know, your ancestral spirits, things like that. I believe there are, you know, lower dimension entities that exist that feed off of fear and human emotion and things like that, much like El Coco, as we'll talk about. And not necessarily are they capable of eating somebody in, you know, physical reality, but can they affect you in other ways, whether it's spiritually or mentally and things like that. So I tend to be very open to that and also try to protect myself from that
definitely
in different ways. But
yeah,
I don't know. What about you? Where do you stand on?
I think I'm a
probably more scared of human.
Oh, 100%. But really, I don't have much like home security stuff. I'm not like,
well, don't
not,
put that out.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to step on my property, you'll catch a few.
Make my day.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that is the reality of our world. That you even in this episode, we'll hear in a bit where they think that El Coco or entities like the Boogeyman stop targeting adults once they reach a certain age is because adults become aware of that exact thing. They shift their scope from like, there's something demonic, an entity that I don't know and that is intangible. And when we grow older, we start realizing that no, the real boogeyman might be my neighbor, which is terrifying, right?
Yeah.
And that's why they say like things like El Coco or the boogeyman only appear to children, because after a while we kind of grow out of it in that sense.
Logically, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It really does. And sounds like even today with today's generation, it's even tough to get them to be scared of these entities anymore,
because
kids are so desensitized to all this.
True.
You know, they're playing Nazi zombies on Call of Duty for forever, and you know, they're seeing all this scary imagery in movies and video games and things, and so these stories don't have the same impact that they once did.
True. But granted, I try and suppress that fear as much as I can in my day to day.
Yeah. You block it out.
I try to. I know it's there, but maybe it's a little bit of a delusion that I like to live in, where it's like, no one's really going to break into my house ever. I kind of just want to live in that space.
Well, if you live in, you don't want to live in fear,
right?
You don't want to be like terrified. And,
right.
And I don't find myself living that way. I think I go through kind of ebbs and flows with it, and it's more out of just being cautious and just, you know, I guess it's really, you know, I always want to be prepared for everything in my mind. So I try to think of every possible scenario that could unfold and just have some sort of plot process or plan in place to deal with that. Which probably sounds crazy.
No, you're being safe.
But I think there's anything. And I think for me too, I thought less about that when I was younger, especially before having a child. And I think now that I have a child, everything just is heightened to a whole other level. And
sure.
And just in how I approach the world. I mean, my house is my safe place. But then the minute I drive anywhere public these days is immediately, you know, all these other dangers lurk and exist. But I don't know.
Well, even with that mindset, I'm glad you still, it's not debilitating, right? You still go out. You're just at Legoland, you know, you still like want to go and do things and with Holly as well, exposure to the outside world.
Yeah.
I think if you take that to another level, right, there are people who are just like, you can't leave.
Well, then
become agoraphobic,
like,
and
might as well just start doomsday.
Right. Yeah.
I should just leave society and go live in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Exactly.
And just leave it all behind. But I'm like, I'm not going to rob my child of that, the experience that I had just because of these fears that I have. But anyways, this is a bit of
we front loaded this one with conversation, because we're going to try and stick to just the story.
We have a lot of stories to tell you, some very creepy ones at that. And just this entity in general is truly terrifying, especially when given all of its capabilities and just how widespread this thing has been reported. So with that being said, shall we begin?
We shall.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
For centuries, parents from all over the world, especially in Latin America and the Iberian Peninsula, Portugal and Spain, have passed down stories to their children about the horrifying creature named El Coco. The legend has spread mostly to Spanish, Portuguese, and the Galician-speaking countries passed down from generation to generation. El Coco abducts and eats children, especially when they misbehave. The beast often lurks at night, hiding close to the child in question. If El Coco doesn't immediately eat the child alive, they might spirit them away to some other realm where they can never return. And in some cases, this creature is even seen as the devil himself. Depending on the region and who you ask, El Coco has been called many different names, like El Cucuy, Cuca, Coca, Cucuy, or Cuco. Or in northern New Mexico and southern Colorado, the creature is sometimes called the Coco Man. Some believe the different variations and names of the entity are all different creatures, but others think they're all just different stories about the same creature that's been haunting children for generations. Others even believe that the creature is so terrifying and so profound that an ancestral memory has passed between generations and children can be born with an inherent fear of El Coco. Although accounts of the creature are different across the world, El Coco is often described as a shapeshifter, or a horrific humanoid beast sometimes obscured by a dark cloak. Those who have seen him say that it has brown skin, similar to the shell of a coconut, and wiry hair. Others claim the creature has reptilian skin and is vaguely female. Or some say it has a carved pumpkin for a head. Some even claim the entity is a dark shadow of someone who has recently died. El Coco waits in its cave in the nearby hills or mountains and uses its large ears to listen for children who misbehave. Once it finds them and abducts them, it then uses its claws and fangs to tear into flesh and devour children whole. In other tales, he's an old thin man with a piercing gaze and a black bag slung over his shoulder, just large enough to fit a child inside. He then retreats to his lair where he boils children alive and rubs their fat along his body to keep himself alive. The creature has become so famous that it's also featured in different forms and names in a variety of songs, books, TV shows, and movies. Stephen King even took inspiration from the El Coco lore in his book, It. Pennywise, we all know, a shape-shifting creature that loves terrorizing children, even refers to himself as an eater of worlds and of children. El Coco was also a direct inspiration to his 2018 book and adapted TV show, The Outsider, where a shape-shifting creature is murdering people in a city in Oklahoma. Episode 4 is even titled, Que Viene El Coco, which translates to Here Comes El Coco. No matter what version of El Coco is being used, the creature often has one goal, to terrorize children into good behavior, especially when it comes to going to sleep at bedtime. It often comes as a threat to any child who dares to disobey their parents, and it's often mentioned in the opening lines of a haunting Mexican lullaby. Translated to English, sleep, my child, go to sleep now. El Coco is coming, and he will eat you. Beyond its role as a boogeyman used to frighten children into behaving, El Coco holds a deep cultural significance for many in Mexican-American culture. Sometimes he acts as a cautionary tale, warning against drifting too far from home or staying out too late alone in the darkness. In some cases, malevolent creatures in folklore can only be witnessed by children, which might be true for El Coco. Others explain that the older people get, the more El Coco's powers diminish because adults begin to realize that human monsters are the real threat. The most common story of El Coco goes something like this. There once was a 7-year-old named Juanito. He had been a problem child since birth and always misbehaved. Even as a baby, he never stopped crying and always screamed if he didn't get his way. When he learned to talk, he always told his parents no. And when he learned to walk, he destroyed everything in his path. By the age of 3, he started school and everything got worse from there. He constantly insulted his parents and teachers and even began assaulting other children, causing countless suspensions and even expulsions from school. As years passed, his behavior never improved, and his parents became desperate. No matter how hard they tried, they couldn't control Juanito. They would scold him and punish him, but nothing would work. His mother finally warned that if he continued his awful behavior, El Coco would come and take him away. But despite this warning, Juanito continued to misbehave. One night, while Juanito was in bed, he thought he heard what sounded like massive claws slowly scratching their way along the roof just above his bedroom while his parents were fast asleep. Moments later, the boy's shriek rang through the house. His mother ran to see what was going on, and as she opened up the bedroom door, a hairy creature wearing a hooded robe had gotten a hold of her son. The creature gripped a hairy hand with sharp claws over his mouth so he could no longer scream. His mother could barely see the creature's face in the dark besides its sharp fang. El Coco then bolted out of the bedroom window while carrying her son under one arm. She watched as it carried him deep into the woods beyond their house, and she never saw Juanito again.
Among many Mexicans and Mexican-Americans, they call this creature El Cucuy. The variation in name might come from the noise the creature makes, and those who have seen it describe it as a small humanoid with glowing red eyes. It's misshapen and hairy all over. It has large bat-like ears and a set of razor-sharp teeth, similar to a barracuda. In some accounts, the creature has one giant ear that pulses as it scans and listens for children who are misbehaving. Some believe El Coco was once a child who was the victim of brutal violence, and now he's returned as a demonic beast to terrorize children. Others mention a horrific story known as the Crime of Gador from the early 1900s, where a child's blood and body fat was used as a folk cure for a wealthy patient's tuberculosis treatment. On June 27, 1910, a patient, Francisco Ortega El Moruno, contracted a doctor to abduct a child, 7-year-old Bernardo Gonzalez Parra, and steal the boy's blood. After slicing the boy's armpit and gathering the blood, Francisco then mixed the blood with sugar and swallowed it. After they took the boy to a place known as Las Poquicas, where they killed him, crushing his skull with a rock. Then they extracted fat and mesentery, an organ, to make a compress to apply to Francisco's chest. They concealed Bernardo's body in a crevice, unburied but covered with herbs and stone. The doctor was later turned over to police, since many had suspected him of illegal and occult practices. The doctor then turned over his accomplices as well. All were executed, including the patient. Only one accomplice was later pardoned for insanity. At the time of his execution, Francisco Ortega, the patient, promised he would get his revenge. He told everyone to keep their children off the streets, saying, quote, "For if I find them in the dark, I will take them, drink their blood, and live forever." Many believe that Francisco Ortega became El Cucuy after his death. Other stories claim that El Cucuy was once a father upset with his kids for misbehaving, and as punishment, he decided to lock his kids in a closet. Later, he decided to go to town and run some errands, but forgot to let his kids out of the closet. When he returned, he saw that his barn and house had caught fire, killing his children inside, and the father was cursed forever, losing his mind in the process. In disbelief, he now looks for his children in every closet for eternity. As the years passed, his pain turned into a deranged fascination with children, and he grew an appetite for them. Now he hides in closets at night, waiting for the right moment to strike. El Coco has been witnessed hiding on rooftops or under children's beds for long periods of time. He can wait hours or even days, completely unseen. He can also shapeshift and even take the appearance of the shadow of an object in the room. El Cucuy then waits until his target goes to sleep, and in the dead of night he abducts the child and sometimes carries them in a large burlap sack. The beast then carries the child back to a decrepit lair deep within the mountains, and he slowly eats them alive, bones and all. In other stories, El Cucuy only appears after a scolding from a parent, and in one account, parents warn their child they would be scratched by El Cucuy in the night as a consequence for their bad behavior. After this, some children have reported struggling to fall asleep, and once they did, some have woken up with sore feet and long red scratches or even gashes along their legs. One anonymous poster told their own story of their encounter with El Cucuy. He had apparently been doing poorly in eighth grade, so his parents sent him off to boarding school, a place managed by Catholic priests and known to be extremely haunted. One night, he woke up and headed to the bathroom, where he saw a dark figure standing in the doorway. It stood almost 7 feet tall, with its head reaching the top of the doorframe. The creature then beckoned him, waving its hand at him in a come here motion. Before anything else could happen, he passed out. He woke up moments later and luckily, the creature was gone. He then used the bathroom and returned to bed. He never even asked anyone else about what he saw that night, but he did keep a flashlight with him in case he ever had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night again. Fortunately, he never saw that creature again.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
El Coco's origins are mysterious and odd, but many agree that the legend of El Coco, or El Cocuy, dates back centuries. Some claim the history of the legend goes back to the ancient Greeks, Romans, or indigenous peoples of Mexico. But in more modern research, many have identified the Iberian Peninsula, meaning Portugal and Spain, as the birthplace of El Coco. The earliest possible reference to El Coco might date to 1518 in an allegorical play by Gil Vicente, a Portuguese playwright and poet. The title translates to Act of the Ship of Purgatory, and El Coco in this story is used in reference to the devil. But where did the creature's name come from? An old theory points to the simple coconut as the origin. Before the Portuguese explorers had even seen a coconut, they'd used the Latin word coco to mean several nuts or one big nut. And this is why the coconut later got its name when Portuguese spotted the fruit on a Polynesian palm tree. Throughout history, the term coco is also used in place of head or skull. Its holes also sometimes look like two eyes and a mouth. Along with its hairy features, the coconut has characteristics that are similar to the head of a hairy monster. Another theory is that the word coco in Portuguese refers to black hooded cloaks. The Fari Cocos are ominous-looking men who wear these dark cloaks with only two eye holes. Traditionally, they would roam the streets and publicly announce people by name and the crimes they've committed. It's since been Christianized, and now they roam during Holy Week while calling for people to repent for their sins. They're still around to this day, in fact, especially in the city of Braga in northern Portugal. They take part in a centuries-old Catholic procession at night during Holy Week, and many have pointed out that the famous etching by Francisco de Goya Lucientes, titled Que Viene El Coco, or Here Comes El Coco, features a mysterious creature in a hooded cloak. And many stories and lullabies about El Coco mention him emerging at night, just like Fairy Cocos do. Then there's another theory that mentions a reptilian. Apparently during medieval times in northern Portugal and Spain, there were legends of terrifying creatures, and one story told of three leveling reptilian beasts. These were a dragon, crocodile, and a turtle-like creature. They often terrorized people at night, and they were called coca. And they would prey on innocent victims, especially children, and they would usually eat them. The legend of the dragon dates back to St. George, a Roman Christian soldier who defeated a dragon terrorizing a village and demanding the sacrifice of young maidens. This legend continues to this day, especially in Portugal, during Corpus Christi. The legend of the crocodile dates back to 1776 in Palma, Spain. There was a rumor that a dragon named Drac de na Coca roamed around one of these neighborhoods. Strange noises could be heard at night and the beast would devour several children. A knight eventually killed the beast, discovering it was simply a crocodile that had been living in the sewers of the city. The crocodile is still displayed today at the Diocesan Museum. Now the legend of the turtle dates back to 14th century Spain. A mythical creature known as Cuca Fera de Tortosa was a fearsome beast, and it resembled a tortoise, but had a spine covered in horns. It also had sharp claws in the head of a dragon. Its diet was three children and three cats every night. In Brazilian folklore, this boogeyman creature is known as Cuca, a female humanoid-looking alligator. Sometimes it's an old lady with a large burlap sack. Parents warn their children that Cuca will come and abduct them, chop them up, and boil them into a soup if they don't go to bed. Cuca only needs to sleep one night every 7 years, and the rest of the time she's out abducting and eating children in the middle of the night. Cuca is also presented as a witch, who can use her power to put people immediately to sleep and enter their minds. And when the creature screams in anger, it can be heard up to 30 miles away.
In Portugal, this creature is known as Coca, or sometimes El Coco. It has a long, snake-like body with sharp claws and deadly teeth. It often lurks in dark places waiting to abduct unsuspecting children. The reptilian creature then tosses the children into a bag and hauls them back to their lair, where it defleshes the children and eats them whole, leaving nothing behind. Or they might refer to another boogeyman called Papau Negro, or Bichi Papau. It often looks like what a child fears most. Sometimes it resembles an owl, and this creature operates the same way as El Coco and waits on the roof of a house before invading a child's bedroom. And one last theory, long before Halloween had ever become a celebrated holiday in the U.S., there was a tradition of carving jack-o'-lanterns during autumn practice by people who lived in northern Portugal and Galicia, Spain. These jack-o'-lanterns eventually became associated with horror stories and ghosts, and one of these ghosts in Portuguese folklore was known as El Coco, a demonic creature who had a jack-o'-lantern in the place of a human head and would terrorize children. Similar to a coconut, the carved jack-o'-lantern would often have two carved eyes and a mouth. And Spanish-speaking parents often warn their children, saying, "Si no te duermes, viene el cucuy," or in English, "If you don't sleep, here comes el cucuy." Others might end in a command with, "O voy a decir al cucuy que te agarre," or in English, "Be good, or I'm going to tell el cucuy to get you." Here are the two earliest known lullabies by the Spanish poet Anton de Montoro, dating back to 1445, and these are translated to English. "They gave me so little that I am afraid out of sheer terror, like babies in their cradles, whom they tell, 'Watch out for El Coco, a dragon that guards and watches that fruit from the apple tree.'" And here's another one. "Children, beware of El Coco, they say when they ask for bread. Before you, I am like a runny-nosed child, like a puppy before a great dog." And also, one of the greatest Spanish writers of all time, Miguel de Cervantes, also mentioned the creature in his most famous work, Don Quixote, in 1605. So this is the epitaph of Don Quixote, and this compares him to El Coco. So this is translated to English, but it was also made to rhyme. And it said, "This world he didn't even prize, he was a scarecrow in its eyes, and yet he was El Coco too. He had the luck, with much ado, to live a madman, yet die wise." The exact line is, "Fue el espantajo y el coco del mundo," which means he was the scarecrow and El Coco, the boogeyman of the world. Bugbear is sometimes used in place of El Coco, depending on the translation, and it's a legendary creature, a hobgoblin similar to a boogeyman, and is used to frighten disobedient children. And El Coco is essentially the Iberian version of a bugbear, it's believed.
But now turning to more modern times, here's a first-hand account of El Cucuy, posted by the user The Dark Knight on July 29, 2024, on darkstories.org. The poster was a college student at the time, and mentioned he was an unruly kid growing up, so that may have influenced his encounter. He wrote, quote, "3 days ago, as of writing this, I had an encounter that genuinely chills me to the core. The scariest part was that it happened in my own living quarters. I thought for the longest time that I was safe in my humble college dorm, but now, well, I never feel safe. Even as I write this, I'm constantly looking over my shoulder, trying to see if it will return. However, despite happening 3 days ago, this encounter began roughly a little more than a month prior. I had just finished a group math session where I helped other students with problems they didn't comprehend and vice versa. We concluded at around 3 p.m. As I left the building where the meetings were held, I felt tense, as if something in the near future would cause me trouble. Shortly thereafter, I arrived at my room's door and saw that it was ajar. I remember checking and double checking the lock, so either there was an unscheduled and unannounced visit from maintenance, or a member of a faculty had decided to check my room. Sure enough, I found a college employee who we'll call R for the sake of anonymity, walking around my room, seemingly searching for something. I asked R what he was doing in my room, and this is the answer he gave, which began this nightmare. I got a call about 10 minutes ago from your roommate saying that they heard some weird screaming noises coming from your room. I am just checking to see if everything's in order. Pretty sure it's just a squeaky pipe, though. Plumbing here is below the ideal standard. I told him that I understood why he was in my place, and with the promise of sending a plumber to my residence, R exited the room. As soon as the door shut, that same feeling of tenseness overcame me, stronger this time than before. I checked my room even though R had just cleared it, but I wanted to assure myself, because I have a history of seeing things, unexplainable things. I checked the last closet, and as soon as the sliding door shut, the most awful screech bombarded my ears. It sounded like the scraping of metal on metal. As the screeching occurred, a loud thump sounded in the bathroom to my left, and then everything stopped, as if it had never happened. My roommate Jay loudly knocked on the door, nearly giving me a heart attack. I opened the door and beheld a very angry neighbor. "The heck is going on in here? I'm trying to sleep," Jay practically yelled. Jay was my roommate on my left, and my dorm was nestled in the corner of the building, so I had no roommate on my right. "I don't know, man. I'm just as clueless as you," I snapped back, equally as frustrated as he was. Then the screeching began again, and over the noise I yelled, "See? It's not me." Another loud bump ended the screeching, again coming from the bathroom. But then the thumping continued as if there were footsteps. Whatever it was, Jay saw it first because his eyes got very wide, and he made a weird yelping noise before running back to his room. I turned around and there was nothing there, but the thumping persisted for 5 more minutes before finally ceasing. The police arrived in my room with reports from Jay saying that I was summoning demons. I don't know why they even bothered to come to the dorm of a hungover roommate's call. They did a brief and basic search of my room before giving me a strong warning not to cause trouble. I knew not to argue with the police, so I just nodded and said, "Yes, sir." For some reason, the thumping and screeching stopped for a long time up until 5 days ago, when they started back up again, fiercer and louder and longer lasting. It all came to a head 3 days ago, as I said in the beginning. That was the day that I saw it. I had returned to my dorm from yet another group math session, dreading the impending bedlam and the noises in my room promised to cause. The thumping this time, though, kept on going, getting closer to me as I studied. The noises seemed to exit the bathroom, make their way across the room and over to an area right behind me. I was just trying to ignore it until something touched my shoulder. I leapt up, ready to pound whoever broke in my room, but I saw nothing. However, as I continued to scan my room, it's when I saw something in the darkest corner. God, it was terrible. The creature was just so wrong. I remember its features all too well. Red pupils encased in inky black eyes on a face with a massive smile. The thing was almost humanoid in shape, but its skin was an unnatural gray and its arms ended and hands with massive claws. It was cloaked in a thick black billowing robe. Its smile, my God, this thing's smile was so wide and there were so many yellow teeth. It just looked at me and then began to slowly approach me, and that's when I realized I couldn't move. I know this sounds like a horror movie cliche, but I couldn't even talk, let alone scream for help. I then remembered a cryptid that I recently read about in freaky folklore called El Cucuy. As I imagined the art depicting this creature, it looked like a perfect match. Just as this demonic entity began to reach out to grab me, sealing my fate, my roommate opened my door, which I had luckily left open. He screamed like a little girl and then ran away from the entrance to my room. I guess Jay's scream was loud enough to startle this thing into not killing me. Gave me a look that seemed to say, "We'll continue this at a later time," before disappearing. It's like it was there and then it just wasn't, like the laws of physics didn't apply to this thing. I then went to Jay's room, finding him cowering in a corner with a kitchen knife. After he saw that I was fine and assuring him that I definitely was not a body snatcher in disguise, he asked if I wanted some help from an exorcist or a medicine man, as he knew a few. I told him to find whoever had the ability to ward off El Cucuy. After this encounter, I looked into El Cucuy, and my encounter became more and more similar to other encounters people have had with it. Never look up pictures of El Cucuy if you want to sleep at night. The only thing that confuses me is that the cryptid's home continent is Europe, and I live in America. I guess it goes where it pleases. Anyways, as I'm writing this, 2 people are blessing my dorm and burning sage in it. I pray to whatever powers above that I never, ever have to see the smile of El Kukui again. Whew, that is creepy. No other way around it.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Similar to El Kukui, many Spanish-speaking children over generations have heard frightening stories about El Chamuco, or the devil. Just like with the legend of El Kukui, parents tell their children, si no te duermes, El Chamuco vendrá y te jalará los pies. Or in English, that translates to, if you don't sleep, El Chamuco will come and pull your legs. He will often appear to misbehaving children, or in some cases, if children are outside playing too long after dark, El Chamuco will rise up from the dirt, with his body engulfed in flames and emitting a horrible smell of sulfur. Sometimes he wields a trident or a machete, and he will then snag the closest misbehaving child and drag them into hell. El Chamuco is like El Kukui in many ways, except instead of always using brute force, El Chamuco sometimes uses tricks and deceit. There's a legend from Guerrero, Mexico, and it's known as the Devil Baby, where El Chamuco takes on a much smaller but also terrifying form. And his goal is similar to El Kukui because it warns people of the dangers of staying out too late alone. As the story goes, in a long forgotten town in the mountains, it was tradition for men to get off work and head to the local watering hole to drink pulque and mezcal. After a drink or two, they would head home. So one day, Don Jose worked a long day during the seasonal corn harvest, and the sun had just settled over the mountains. So he packed up his tools and headed back to town a few miles down the road at the base of the foothills. He headed to Don Javier's canteen, like always, and he met some of the other men of the village before ordering a small mezcalito, saying to the bartender, a small drink before bed never hurt anyone. He then saw Gennaro and Joaquin, some old friends. He overheard them talking about a recent rumor spreading around town. Apparently, a local woman had seen the devil in the form of a black dog. Another saw the devil in the form of a bull. And they only saw the devil creatures after midnight. So Don Jose wasn't buying any of it. He told his friends, don't listen to that nonsense. And he believed the stories were all lies, just a way to cut their drinking hours short so they would all have to be home early. He told them it was all just rumors spread by a bunch of bored, lonely housewives who wanted their husbands home sooner. He reassured the men they shouldn't be afraid. And he said, the devil pulls my teeth. According to the story, this was an old regional saying that meant something like, the devil is the one who should be afraid of me. Don Jose then took his time nursing his mezcalita. Once finished, it was dark out, and he crossed town, taking his usual route home. Only some of the streets were lit by dim streetlights. Others were only lit by the moon on a clear night, and he could only see the cobblestone pathway just ahead of him. So as he made his way along the path, he heard a quiet whining sound, almost like a cat in heat, but he ignored it. Moments later, he heard it again, but louder this time. And now it sounded like a crying baby. He tried searching for the source of the sound in the dark, and he came across an old abandoned house. Just beside one of the exterior walls, he saw a small, dark lump of something on the ground. It was moving, and as he got closer, he noticed it was a baby, loosely wrapped in a blanket. He looked for anyone else nearby, but the streets were empty. Don Jose said, 1,000 curses to the woman who abandoned you, little one. And he took the baby in his arms and planned on carrying him all the way home. But as he walked, you know, he kind of calmed the baby down, and his crying subsided after a while. But as he got closer to home, the baby became heavier and heavier, to the point that the child was just too heavy to carry. As he pulled the blanket back, The baby said in a strange voice,
"Daddy, look at my teeth."
Horrified, Don Jose saw long tusks bulging from the child's mouth, and his eyes glowed red. He quickly tossed the demonic child out of sight and ran off toward his home. Don Jose was changed forever after that night. When he arrived home, he was frantic and out of control. His wife thought he had lost his mind. Once she finally settled him down, she noticed he had come down with a high fever, and for days he was bedridden and spoke incoherently. On day two, he lost all of his teeth, and after 3 days, Don Jose died.
Similar to El Coco scaring kids into going to bed, there's another terrifying creature that will keep them there. Parents tell their children, "Stay in bed," or
"La mano peluda te va a agarrar,"
which translates in English to "the hairy hand is going to grab you." Much like El Coco, the legend is common in Spanish-speaking countries, but is mostly popular in Mexico and Colombia. The monstrous hand is believed to belong to a Mayan shaman who was killed during the Spanish Inquisition. He was wrongfully accused of robbery and his hand was cut off. The man swore he would get revenge for the injustice, but his threats were overheard and he was put to death. He then cast a resurrection spell just before his execution, but only his hand reanimated. Although the man remains dead and buried, his hand is returned for revenge he couldn't get while he was still alive. And it often hides under the beds of children waiting for their feet to touch the floor if they get out of bed when they're not supposed to. Another story comes from 1908 in the city of Pueblo, just southeast of Mexico City. Horta and his wife, La Gagosa, owned a pawn shop together. Horta was a short, hairy man who enjoyed flaunting his wealth to those less fortunate. Throughout his career, he often cheated his customers and cut corners to make as much money as possible. The locals of Pueblo would pass by his shop praying, "Please God, dry out his hand." Horta later died as greedy as ever, and soon after his death, a local newspaper ran a story involving a graveyard keeper who worked at the cemetery where Horta was recently buried. The keeper said that late at night he witnessed a black, hairy hand with extravagant rings on the fingers crawl out of Horta's grave. In some accounts, the fingernails were long and sharp, with poisoned tips. It appeared to have grown in size about 2 times out of an average hand, and a trail of blood followed wherever it went. Maggots could be seen twisting and turning in the wound where the hand was severed from the arm. Locals claim they witnessed the hand trying to attack them in the night. Some were even found dead, strangled to death, with their eyes torn out of their sockets. Many witnessed the hand only at night, hiding under their beds, waiting for their feet to stick out and touch the ground. For the victims that weren't immediately killed by the hand, many were never seen again. Many believe the children who were attacked by La Mano Peluda are dragged through a portal beneath their bed into the unknown.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Whatever name we might give the boogeyman, it's clear to many children across the world that a demonic creature constantly lurks in the shadows. And for every misbehaving child, this creature is ready to abduct them and devour them whole. The legends of El Coco and many others have been used to scare children into obedience, and their stories have been passed on for generations. But the boogeyman isn't just a threat, he's become a cultural figure in many households. And the different stories reflect the differences in culture around the world. Lots of creepy things in the night to be afraid of.
Oh yeah,
as a child in these countries.
I was wondering, have you ever weaponized anything like this against Holly to get her to go to sleep?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, she's
Too pure.
She's too pure, and the dark alone is.
Oh, she's already a bit
scared. Yeah, like she likes the nightlight on.
Yeah, I was scared of the dark for a long time. Yeah.
I don't blame you. I had to have my door cracked. And she'll ask, she'll be like, "Can you leave the door cracked?" I'm like, "No, shut the door." But she has a nightlight, and we also have a camera over her crib.
Right.
Which she now knows that we can see her on.
Yep. So you were telling me, she's like, Dad, it's time to get up.
Yeah. Let's go. She's my alarm in the morning.
That's hilarious.
It's crazy. It's like clockwork every single day. But yeah, it's interesting to think about how young you tell these kids. It sounds like they're pretty young in some cultures.
I mean, could you see yourself maybe like doing a little spooky activity with Holly when maybe she's like 8?
Yeah, when they're a little older. It'd be, you know, test the waters a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if I go straight to a...
They're going to...
Devouring
you.
Demon child eater. But,
yeah, pretty intense.
But I mean, there's, you know, there's lots of, I mean, Hansel and Gretel and stuff like, there's a lot
true.
Of...
True, yeah.
Classic stories like that are pretty dark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, two might be a little young.
Yeah,
to introduce a...
Definitely.
A fear like this.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's literally used to keep them in bed.
Right.
Like, don't even step your foot on the floor. Got to go to the bathroom. Too bad.
Yeah. You're staying in bed. Yeah.
Although things might change, you know, as she transitions out of the crib into the next bed where
a little more independent.
Yeah.
Yep.
That'll be interesting because maybe I will have to resort to such.
Get some tools. Yeah.
Keep her in bed.
Right.
So I understand. And again, it's, you know, passed down over generations. These, you know, tales live on.
Right. Yeah.
But it's like, it'd be hard for me to want to make her afraid of something, you know, so paranormal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, she has to fear could show up at some point. Cause I just know how traumatizing it was for me learning about demons in hell at an early age.
Same.
And thinking about that at night.
Yeah.
And just
eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. Eternity burning and
in suffering. Yeah.
That was enough. So I don't really want to put that on her. You know what I mean? That'd be a lot.
Do you think she has a concept of, so what, she's almost 3?
She's 2 years, 7 months.
Okay.
So she's got 5 more months till she's 3, but she's pretty smart for her age, I feel like, so.
So do you think she has like she knows what Halloween is?
Oh,
like ghosts and stuff?
Yeah,
she understands that?
Oh, yeah. She calls out things that are scary to her. And, you know, we're always like, is this going to scare her in there? And there's like, she's watched a lot of Halloween stuff and like ghosts and things like that don't scare her whatsoever.
Okay, that's good.
But then like the lava monster in Moana,
she's too much.
Like, I don't like that guy. She says stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I've not seen her like truly scared before.
Yeah.
Other than startled or something, you know, playing games with her. But
that's good.
But yeah.
I was scared of like Jafar in Aladdin.
Oh, yeah.
He was a bit too intense for me, especially when he was turning into the crazy demon genie at the end. That was a bit too much when I was a kid.
My brother was scared of E.T.
E.T. was scary.
He was in, I think he was, God, he was like pre-K when he watched E.T.
Whoa, and
that gave him That gave him nightmares for years.
Yeah. I was older when I had first seen E.T., but the scene where they've like quarantined the house and E.T.'s like dying. I'm like, that was just stressful for a child to see that. That was just a bit too much.
So yeah, no, that's, but to then take something such as El Coco, like there is this evil entity just lurking, waiting for you to misbehave. That's going to come snatch you up, take you. And then eat you alive.
Yeah, that's brutal. I can see it though. I can see.
Let's say
I was a parent of like 7 children. I would probably pull that card.
You get to a point. Yeah, you might get to a point where you're like,
"This enough is enough.
We're resorting to this."
Yeah,
because there's no other way to keep you in bed. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna judge because, you know, everybody's parents. The way that they need to parent. And you know, if you feel like that's the way that you gotta get the message across, then
sure. My parents never used anything like this on me, but I think I was just already prone to being afraid of things. Like Jaws really like did a number on me when I was a kid, and I was already scared of the dark. And there was a point though where think I realized like towards middle school, because I was afraid of the dark till I was like 12, 13. And I think it was just, I realized that I was only scared of the dark because of what I was projecting onto it. It's almost like a blank canvas where you put whatever's the most terrifying thing is there. So once I came to just some like realization that that's what I was doing. So I just stopped doing that. I'm like, there's nothing there, really.
It's like a mental switch.
Yeah.
Like, okay, calm down. Your eyes are playing tricks on you.
Right.
What about you, Danny? Were you ever scared of the dark or El Cuco? Coco?
You know, as a kid, I wasn't really afraid of too much. One of my first memories was actually me going to a drive-in theater with my dad, and I was like two years old. And the scene I remember specifically, and I don't know if you guys have seen The Mummy, but it's where the mummy opens up his mouth and all the locusts fly out. Yep. That's my first memory.
Dang.
And so that definitely made me scared. But the only other like childhood thing, the creature that really scared me was It. So I mean, and Pennywise, and Pennywise was influenced by, you know, El Cocoy, but yeah, I didn't really have like boogeyman.
The TV miniseries one, not the, oh yeah, because you wouldn't even.
No, the one from the 80s?
Yeah. Tim Curry.
Yeah, but Tim Curry.
Tim Curry's the miniseries. Yeah.
And it wasn't even the movie that scared me. It was just the concept of a murderous clown living in the sewers at the end of my street. So for like a year and a half, I avoided that sewer by like a 50-foot like gradient. I would just go around it. I was terrified of it.
Yeah.
And that iteration is creepy, man.
It is really. Dude. Tim Curry looks like a demon.
Yeah, seriously. God.
Even without the clown makeup, Tim Curry looks a little scary for some reason.
In Home Alone, terrifying.
Yeah. Clue? Totally scary. Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, I never went to one of these fucking Christian haunted houses. You hear about these?
No. What?
Dude, we might have to do like a whole episode on this.
No way.
There are some churches out there that put on their own haunted houses. God.
And it's like people having premarital sex and getting dragged into hell.
Oh, it's brutal. There's like full on abortions happening.
Oh my God. Like,
yeah. They're pretty hell houses. Yeah. We might need to dive into this whole thing.
So you were never subjected to this though?
No, my parents luckily did not allow me to go, but my church did go to a hell house, but they had to get permission, obviously, from the parents to do that. My parents thankfully spared me from going to one of these. But I know I mentioned this on my other show, Mile High, at one point, and I know there was a number of you out there who had actually been to one of these before. And if you've never looked into these things, I mean, it's like depictions of Satan and hell. And talk about traumatizing.
This is ridiculous, and it also sounds like something.
Sexual assault scenes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy. We should maybe cover this.
Yeah. It's like one of them depicts a sexual assault victim committing suicide.
Yep. That's crazy. Easy. Yeah.
Literally scaring the hell out of you. Yeah. Is what the
real life horrors, not ghouls and goblins, like the real life. Oh my God.
This is also something you would see spoofed in like a Simpsons episode or something where Ned Flanders would like take his kids to one of these or something.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's wild shit. So yeah, well, we should definitely do an episode on it because there's a lot more to it too, and just the examples out there. Honestly, some of them are absolutely insane.
Wow, one of the earlier ones, a big one, was started in what is it? I'm sorry, I'm not from Colorado. Arvada. Supposedly, there was a big one there.
Yeah, they were. I don't think they're as common now as they were. Like in the 90s and early 2000s, I think because obviously people were like, what the fuck is this?
You know? Yeah.
But it's definitely one way to traumatize yourself as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, young teenager going in and seeing these scenes and things like that, especially if you are a sheltered Christian kid.
Yeah.
And you've never even seen this in movies or film before. And then to walk in and see these scenes and be like, what the?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Like,
that
this
is horrific. Yeah. Wow.
To hopefully deter you from taking part in anything.
Right.
But it's obviously very skewed and, you know, it's a terrifying, terrifying thing.
Man, that
really fucks people up in some cases. So, but anyways, yeah, that's a topic for another episode, but we hope you enjoyed this one. You know, I thought, you know, I was inspired by the Outsider series because I found that series so interesting and I wanted to know more about this entity, El Cuco, that Stephen King, you know, kind of created to, you know, be the main spook in this, this series. I mean, it's very, very well done. Definitely recommend checking it out, especially after you know all of this kind of background context and history around this entity, because it does a very good job of like bringing into modern times. And then he kind of adds some different elements and abilities to this entity that honestly, you know, I think a lot of us might hear these stories and be like, you sound like childhood fairy tale, you know?
Sure.
But the way that he presents it is very interesting because it's got this more possession ability, and it's also similar to Pennywise in a lot of ways, with the way that it like feeds off of, humans and can take different forms, but is very much a shapeshifter and can do all of these different things. Hopefully I didn't give away too many spoilers. I don't think I did.
No, but, I don't think you did. Cause I haven't seen it. I don't think I would flag you on the spoilers.
I mean, if you just look at the episode titles, you'll know that it's, you know, El Coco.
Yeah.
But
also, I mean, if I know anything about Stephen King, he's really good at making things more adult oriented where it's not just like a spooky story. He kind of uses things a bit metaphorically or like drags on real human emotion that he plays into these creatures. Yeah. Or like even, I mean, I love The Shining. I'm more partial to the movie. Didn't really love the book as much, but it's still his creation. But you could kind of read that whole story as like, no, this is just like an abusive father, right? That's the horror.
Right.
Yeah, it is this guy kind of being taken over and going crazy, but it's also like this wife and mother and their son being trapped with this crazy, abusive, violent father figure.
Yeah. Right?
And that's, so it's like a real human and adult fear, even though you could tell it just as like a spooky story, you know?
Yeah, that's why I love his work so much, because it pulls you in different ways, and then it makes you think about it. There's always like some other angle you can look at,
right?
You know, sort of the story by, and he does a really good job with it, because the way it presents itself is kind of this murder mystery, but then it kind of evolves into this paranormal investigation mystery element to it, and under like, what is this thing and how does it operate, how is it controlling people, and there's all these different facets to it. It's very, very well. I mean, it left me like thinking, holy shit, what if this thing is real
actually?
And what if there is this some sort of negative entity out there in the world that is somehow, you know, infiltrating people and causing some of these horrible things to happen. I mean, it's something that is definitely you think about. I mean, at least I do. I don't know if I'm the only one out there who thinks like, is this all just human derived issues, or is there something greater going on, something, you know, that we just can't perceive per se or explain that is somehow a part of some of these horrible things that are going on around the world. And you know, it's just, it's something that I play around with in my mind, because I'm like, sometimes it just, some of the things that happen, or, you know, horrible things that happen to people, I'm just like, it's hard to find a human explanation for it, and even a scientific explanation. Because oftentimes there's situations, as we presented on this show and other episodes, that just have nothing really explains it. You know what I mean? There's always like some thing that maybe disproves this theory, or it points a different direction. And so there's nothing that really sums it up totally. And there's still unanswered questions. And so it just makes you wonder, like, God, is there something, you know, and depending on your faith or religion, you might be like, it's demons, you know, or it's, you know, something else.
Yeah. Just from what I saw of that clip that you showed me of the show, I haven't watched it yet, but it sounds like they do address it in a way where even some of the characters are like, this is absurd that you're even proposing this could be it.
Which,
so
man,
I like
that's
how
why
they
it's
come
so
at it from that angle. It's very grounded in like how people would actually respond to this existing.
Yeah. It's not just like a kind of a cheesy, you know,
it's a
cliche,
ghost. Yeah, yeah.
You know, paranormal film. It's very much a grounded in reality, and they're all like struggling to figure out like, what? No, that's insane. Like, what are you talking about? And But then as it unfolds and they start uncovering, he's like, oh, okay.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water, but you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And even the investigators are like, this, how is this even possible?
Right.
Which
right.
I like how they kind of approach it from that
which
angle.
Which is probably why I'm thinking the way that I'm thinking. Yeah. You know, especially yeah. when it comes to El Cuco, because I'm like, this is so, it seems like it could be possible.
Right,
like maybe
yeah.
if we think about it this way, like why couldn't it be possible in real life? You know
sure.
what I mean? And if it presented itself this way versus the way that these entities are presented in a lot of these stories that are passed down, it's usually presented in this fantastical type of way that for many of us is very hard to believe in, right?
Right.
Because you're like, that sounds ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big claws, big teeth. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know. But I think when you look at it through this different lens, which the outsider really presents, I think it kind of broadens its reach to where even as an adult, you'd be like, oh, damn. Like maybe this thing doesn't need to present itself in the way that it's said it does in these stories, but perhaps it could be in, you know, in a way that would be indistinguishable from anything else. You know
right.
what I mean? Like it could be there all along and I just didn't know
right.
because I didn't know this thing existed,
right.
but it's always been there or so.
And
it's
we've been interpreting it
yeah, we
completely wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I think that's what makes it so interesting and creepy to me, at least, is like, oh, like maybe it presents itself to kids in a different way because it knows that kids are scared of monsters with big nails and claws and gnashing teeth. But then
right.
to an adult, it could be in a totally different form and even maybe
right.
a human monster form, you know,
some, right.
a murderer, you know, somebody who, you know, commits violent acts against other human beings. That knowing, full well knowing that that's going to hit you harder
right.
than if it just showed up in your bedroom in a cloak.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With some red eyes. Like,
yeah.
you might be like, not as scared, but if it presents itself in a very real human way, scare the shit out of you.
Yeah. That's why there's that one interpretation where it's just an old thin man with a bag.
Right.
That's scary.
That's scarier
yeah,
to
like
me
that
than,
at all.
Than a hairy God. And then there's this other guy. I ran across this other YouTube clip. There's this other guy. It's kind of interesting, but this guy dresses up as El Cucuy.
Oh, nice.
He like made his homemade like mask. It looks like a big coconut head with like with teeth like that. And he like runs around towns and like chases children. But
sick.
He was talking about how like none of the kids are afraid of him anymore.
Oh, because we've just seen too much.
He's like, yeah. And that's where he was talking about. They're all like desensitized through video games and movies. They've all these young kids have seen way more violent, scary shit than
damn.
He can even, because he's just like, ah, you know, like running around with this mask on and he looks like he's in a Halloween costume and all these kids are like, yeah, clearly it's a guy in a costume. So they're not scared
man.
Of it anymore.
That would have definitely terrified
yeah,
me
right.
as a kid.
So it's just interesting to see
that's a bummer.
See how this upcoming generation is just, I mean, I mean, think about my own kid. They're already so much, you know, more exposed to things and technology is a large part of that. The access to the internet and the shows
yeah.
and a lot of the shows are, you know, I feel like it's not fucking Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and Sesame Street.
yeah.
Or,
yeah.
You know, like
I know.
A lot of these shows kind of have some creepy stuff in it, even from, you know, like early age, like kids 2-3 years old are watching shows and there's stuff in there. And I'm like, damn, that would have scared me as a kid. But
yeah.
she's like, that's fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's
man.
Funny.
That's like a Brave New World, the book, Aldous Huxley. It's like a dystopian world that's trying to be utopian, but. Yeah, all the younger generations are just so messed up because they're like, they're having sex when they're like preteens and they're just not really affected by things the same way because they've been exposed to so much more. That's why when I have a kid, no access till you're 17 of the internet.
Yeah,
we're
that's
just
what
unplugging
I said too. Good luck with that,
yeah,
bro.
No,
your kid's gonna fucking hate you.
I know. Yeah, my kid would. Yeah. No, I know that's impossible. But I don't know, I feel like even, I don't know, at least in the 90s and early 2000s, my parents did a decent job at like not allowing me to watch certain movies, or they kind of kept it on a pretty tight lock, but allowed it here and there.
Yeah, there's a healthy balance. Appropriate.
Yeah. I don't know. But isn't that...
I saw a kid at the fucking airport, 8 years old, on a Steam Deck playing Grand Theft Auto.
Damn.
And I was like, what? Wait, I had to take a double take on his screen because I was like, there's no way this little 8-year-old's playing Grand Theft Auto. He was playing Grand Theft Auto.
Man.
I was like, wow. And like, I'm not gonna cast judgment because again, I'm a parent. I know everybody does it differently, but like, I know for me personally, I never let my kid play. I probably never play that game, period.
Yeah.
Maybe not till they've, you know, 17, 18, like when you have proven that you understand.
Mature enough
to handle that kind of content. Right. Like an 8-year-old, I'm like.
That's wild.
And it's just interesting because I think, you know, kids are on the planes. They got the screens on the back seats now. They can watch any movie they want in there. There's no parental controls. It's just like R movies. They have PG-13 movies and there's like little kids sitting there scrolling through watching movies that I would have never dreamed of watching.
That's so true.
At like 6 or 7 years old.
I know. Every time I'm on a Delta flight and I boot up a movie, I'm always like,
no, the kid's watching the worst movie on there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. But man, I don't want to sound like, we're probably sounding like old men here, but
Hey, you know what? You call me old all you want.
I just feel bad.
I'm a young dad, right?
Yeah. But I'm also like, dude, GTA was a rite of passage when you were older and like
teenager at least. Like,
yeah, I was in my teens when I first saw GTA San Andreas. I was like, they make games like this? This is insane. Like,
this is sick.
Yeah, I don't know. But
like 8-year-olds are still watching, you know, watching Paw Patrol.
Yeah,
I went to the Paw Patrol show and there's 8-year-olds there.
Right.
And like, there's an 8-year-old. Playing Grand Theft Auto, right, too. Like,
yeah. It's just, I was watching SpongeBob when I was eight, you know? I was still watching cartoons.
I think it's changed, man.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's changing. I think, I love how this turned into like a parenting. Parenting
kids
podcast.
These days, yeah.
Kids use it. You know what I mean? It's wild. And I think it's just, we have to, as parents, we have to evolve and we're going to have to like keep up with where this next generation's going because they're all just exposed to way more stuff. I mean, the internet's at their fingertips everywhere. Kids are walking around with iPads and they have access. My daughter's 2.5. She knows how to navigate YouTube already. She knows how to swipe apps on my phone and move. Like, it's blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, these kids are so advanced. So maybe they're going to be capable of handling, you know, some of that content earlier than we did because we were more sheltered from it and they're just more exposed to it before. I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to shake out.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably going to be fine, you know, as all generations are scared of the next
generation. I like that approach.
And yeah, I mean, I think it is kind of like a tale as old as time where probably our parents thought video games were going to screw us up too. But then it did and we're all screwed up.
All we want to do is play video games.
Yeah.
Even as adults, we're like, all I want to do is play video games.
Yeah, but I don't know. They'll be fine. I also don't think we're that too far off topic to reconnect back to El Cucuy, El Coco. I think this is as oriented towards parents as it is towards children because it's a way of like addressing and interacting with your child through folklore. So I think it's definitely the connections are there between generations. So I don't think we went too far off the rails.
I wonder if there's any parents out there that are listening to this that have actively told their kids about El Cucuy.
I hope so.
I wouldn't be shocked that there is.
Yeah. If any listeners,
effective is it? I'd love to know.
Yeah. Any parents and or the children who were told this story, drop your story in the comments. We definitely want to hear that.
Yeah. And I'd be really interested. And also let us know if you want to see more episodes like this. Where we're diving. I mean, we have a lot of ideas. We're already kicking around some just where we're, you know, kind of honing in on whether it be a paranormal entity or.
Yeah, we kind of went old school lights out with this one.
Yeah, just kind of like, kick it old school, keep it creepy, spooky, you know, really give you that immersive experience that. So what Lights Out was born out of.
Hell yeah.
So let us know. But yeah, thanks for joining us for this episode of Lights Out. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure you're following on Spotify, subscribed on YouTube, or subscribed on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you. Leave a rating and review if you enjoyed it. If you didn't, please don't. Just kidding. We love all criticism and feedback. But we'll see you guys next week. Until then, lights out.
Everybody.